me, Stash. Do you think Soho is becoming too commercial?
Yes, I read that.
Oh, who gives a rat's ass?
Hey, that affects us.
Oh, well, what about the massacres in Sri Lanka, honey? Doesn't that affect us, too? I mean, do you know anything about Sri Lanka? How, like, the Sikhs are killing, like, tons of Israelis over there?
Come on, Bryce. There are a lot more important problems than Sri Lanka to worry about.
Like what?
Well, we have to end apartheid, for one, and slow down the nuclear arms race, stop terrorism, and world hunger. We have to provide food and shelter for the homeless, and oppose racial discrimination, and promote civil rights, while also promoting equal rights for women. We have to encourage a return to traditional moral values. Most importantly, we have to promote general social concern. Unless materialism in young people.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school. Dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, June 7th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your daily report as the WOG counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get currently to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Once you're there, you'll be able to check up on all my news stories, follow all the links, read my mad scramblings and scribblings, any other blings I want to put on there, bling, bling, ching, ping, ka-chack, pow, and you'll be able to follow along with me by listening on the following stations, which also carry this broadcast. I know it's a little scattered, but what the hell, just press through. The stations that also carry this program are Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. There's lots of people out there apparently handing it out at work, which is something I keep forgetting to say. Hey, if you're working with people, and chances are you are, unless, of course, you are employed by some sort of weird alien organization, in which case we want to hear from you. But if you are working with fellow human beings, and even if you're an alien working with fellow human beings, they need to hear this show. So you should burn it to disk, give it to them, and make sure you're right on the very front there where they can get more of this cheesy, chocolatey, and let's not forget free goodness, which you are able to distribute to the masses. Now, I've got an angry email to start the show off with here. So that's my only feedback so far today. But so we'll go with this one. Dear Sean, now you got to know that it's always bad when the letter starts off with not to be too nitpicky. You know, but, you know, that's where it starts. Dear Sean, not to be too nitpicky, but just so you know, Deus Ex is a Latin to a reference to a term Deus Ex Machina, pronounced Deus Ex Machina. It refers to a technique used in early theater when a god characters were lowered onto the stage from the heavens or raised up from hell using a mechanical platform. It means god, deus, ex, from, machina, machine. So god from the machine. So deus ex machina is actually probably the nicest translation to something regarding server, like server deus ex machina. Much like the theory that Excalibur is Latin/Arabic cross ex halibur for from the stone, the only method for making long swords at this time, a process invented by the Muslim sword masters. Now, I did know that about Deus Ex Machina, but I did not know that about Excalibur. I thought that was very cool. There are several, now this is a little space, and it's on to the next point. There are several gay churches, but they aren't just for homosexuals. The majority of breakaway churches from the Catholic, Anglican, and Baptist churches that refuse to be bullied into excommunicating members, disagreed with doctrine, or offered by the church's by the church's stance on HIV/AIDS while it cut a swath through the families of their practitioners. Yes, well, you know, this is why something I have kind of wondered about the church. You get these churches, right? And they're like, yes, we are all part of the church. And then they separate from the church saying, yes, we're still Baptist, but we don't keep with Baptist doctrine. Or, yes, we're still Roman Catholic, but we don't keep with Roman Catholic doctrine. You're either going with the Pope or you're not going with the Pope. If you're not going with the Pope, then you're not Roman Catholic. Just that's how it works. If you're not going with the Pope and you decide to break off, then I don't know what you are. And I'm not even saying you're probably cool or whatever if you're into Mud Hut religion or whatever, but you're definitely not Catholic. And one last thing, Saskatchewan. Screw you. Saskatchewan isn't nothing. Number one, we are not all flat. We are in the Badlands start, and despite the name, they are quite beautiful. Surrounding them are swaths of hills. Two, we are half covered by forest, boreal and temporal. We have 100,000 lakes. Almost every community has its own lake with camping and beachfront areas. Besides the Saskatchewan River, north and south, there are a great many rivers and river valleys. We are where many new technologies are tested out. That's because they don't care about if they hurt the people of Saskatchewan. Our universities are among the top engineering, agricultural, computer science, chemical engineering, agro science, genetic science, good or bad. And we were one of the first people to do nuclear and nuclear pile research, and one of the first to do nuclear medicine. Yeah, well, you know, at least you're not distracted by things like terrain, which is good. You can't look out your window and look at, the great mountains and stuff. Number seven, many tech and service businesses want to move to Saskatchewan for cheaper cost of living, higher educated working, and Saskel being the world's finest communication companies inspired by a Crown Corp, giving them one of the best communication supports in Canada. Mm-hmm. Our towns and cities are predominantly green spaces. Prince Albert, where I have now been for 7 years, is voted the UN body best place to live in the world for 7 years, five consecutively, and not only changed after the federal government tore up the Medicare and the farming crisis. It gets cold, occasionally very, very cold. BC gets wet and gray, occasionally very, very wet and gray. Yes, but wet and gray will not kill you as cold will. Wait, I know what it is. You're just afraid that there's something bigger than you called SK. Yes, well, that's true. My ego did die of overfeeding not too long ago. You're probably not going to read this. Oh, never ever think that. Or all of this, but just, I had to stand up when you went for making fun and criticizing my province, but when you absolutely trashed it, said it should be bombed, I could not let it go. You usually try to know what you're talking about, so I had to say something. Unusually pissed off at you, Wolf Inspector. Now, there's a few times where I will make a comment like, I think that the prairie should be bombed into the Stone Age. It was a lake before, it should be a lake again. Now, obviously, I am not a fan of the prairies, and there are people, like Wolf Inspector, who are a huge fan of the prairies. Then that's great. We are happy. Wolf Inspector, outstanding. I will apologize if any of my comments offended you. Just in case, to clarify this, I don't actually believe that the prairies themselves and all the indigenous people living there, many of which are Rant fans, should be bombed into the Stone Age. That's not actually what I believe. A lot of people take me very, very literal. Think of me as kind of like the Bible. Basically full of some good ideas, but mostly full of shit. That's pretty much how you want to look at myself and how I do commentary on things. And hey, if I can make you think and give you some kind of quasi-spiritual insight, more is the better. But hey, the difference between me and the Bible is I don't want to kill people. Mind you, I will talk about, generally bombing Saskatchewan. And although all these points he brings up, I would ask him to explain why deer commit suicide in Saskatchewan by waiting on the side of the road until one truck, which they can see for miles and miles, comes along in the wintertime, and then they just step out in front of the truck to kill themselves. Where the wildlife is doing seppuku, it's time to move. Now, let's get into some sort yourself out. And incidentally, Wolf Inspector, you're the shit. I'm just fucking around with you, buddy. So into sort yourself out. Dear Sean, I'll keep this as short as possible for you. Yes, please do. If you're sending me large emails, try to, even if you do it in point form or something like that, please do that because you would not believe the volume of mail. If I get a monster email where I have to scroll like twice, I delete it. I don't have the time. I don't even have the time to paraphrase it. Okay, like I'm online. Email alone is about 2.5 hours. Okay, every single day. So, and then I've got to do the daily web checks and everything. I still haven't been able to throw large answers out to people. I try to get them out as best I can. So I do apologize if you sent mail. I haven't been responding. I try to respond. If you send me like 5 messages, I'll respond to one of them and say thanks for all the links in reference to your other mail. So please bear with me. I'm doing the best I can over here. Now, on to sort yourself out. Dear Sean, I'll keep this as short as possible for you. My grandmother is in the hospital. She was diagnosed with severe emphysema. Before we took her to the hospital, her mental capacity was perfect, sharpest attack at age 85. She was also very mobile and getting around without the aid of a walker. Now, after being in the hospital for 3 days, she completely lost her mind. I'm talking fear and loathing, Las Vegas, hallucinations. She's a shell of her former self, and the hospital can't explain what happened to her. CAT scan comes up clean, and she's on no new medication. I have two options: bring her home and try to take care of her, or send her to a rehabilitation home. Keep in mind that up until a few years ago, she was taking care of me and my mother, and then we were taking care of her. I have no idea what to do. I feel like I would be abandoning her if I send her to the rehabilitation home, but I'm also afraid for her safety if I bring her home in this kind of mental state. I know there is no clear answer you can give, but I don't have anyone else to turn to for advice. Well, okay, I'll tell you what. She's 85, so she's already past the mental age bracket. And I'm going to give this to you straight, okay? I'm going to pretend like I don't know everything. I'm going to look at this purely from a math stance, okay? She's 85 years old. Let's say you bring her home and she dies, all right? Well, she died at home with her family. You got to ask yourself, where would she want to die? Would she want to die in some weird, you know, hospital surrounded by strangers in some place that smells like antiseptic? Or would she rather kick off with all of her family laying around with her? You know what I mean? Not necessarily dying, but, you know, just kind of hanging out in the family room there. So what I would say is bring her home if you want to. Bear in mind, you know, it seems like you're very family-oriented. I don't know if I'd bring my grandmother into the house. You know, but from what you're saying here and from how you're trying to make a decision, the fact you're even considering bringing her home means that you're open to the idea. I'm a big believer that if she is going to do any healing, she's sure as shit not going to do any healing in the hospital, those places where they stick old people to die. So if you want to stick your old mom or grandmother in a place where there's lots of other old people waiting to die, go ahead, send her off to the rehab. Or, you know, you can move her off there. Maybe she's too wigged out that she won't know the difference. You know, it's not a right or wrong answer either way. But if it was me and I had the capability, I would probably say, bring her home, make her some tea, and she'll probably get herself back together again. Probably the system shock of moving might have jarred her up a bit too. So when you're asking what to do here, when it comes to someone who's 85 years old, she's being a little wiggy, unless she's like right out of control, smearing shit in the walls and stuff, as some old people are apt to do, you know, then if you can take care of her, do it. But if you can't yet, put her in a home. That's the way I look at it. Some people say that's really cold. Some people say it's really cold to put people in homes, you know, and I hate homes, for the record. I went to an old folks home one time, and I set up this, I've told that story, I think, before on What the Hell, where I set up, I fixed the TV in this room, and there was, like, an army of old people, like, cheering, you know, yay, because I fixed the TV, and nobody else seemed to know how to fix the TV. I was so mad, man, I could spit. But apparently, you know, you got to do something with old people. And this is yet another reason why we should not be having any laws passed to, you know, defeat human stem cell research and things that allow our loved elderly to live a more healthy and fulfilled life. That's just me. If cutting up monkeys saves my grandma, you better watch yourself there, cheetah, because you're going to be having some problems. So, into the news. Molly Wire found some UK Gattaca State news. And I know there's people that hate the fact that I keep calling it the UK Gattaca State, but I don't care. Drivers, are you ready for this one? Drivers could pay up to £1.34 a mile in a pay-as-you-go road charge under new government plans. Now, this whole concept here is, oh, you drive a car? Every meter you go, you get charged for it. The Transport Security said the charges aimed at cutting congestion would replace road tax on petrol and petrol duty. So rather than charge you for gas, and rather than charge you tax on gas, rather, we're still going to charge you for the gas. And since the roads are getting busy, we're just going to, only people with the money to afford to be able to drive their car will be able to drive their car. And the way we're going to do this, we're going to track you by satellite. Alistair Darling, I love these names, said change was needed if the UK was to avoid a possibility of an LA-style gridlock within 20 years. Wow, that's a pretty far reach for 20 years to start, you know, charging people for every inch they move. Like, oh, you want to have freedom of movement? No, that costs money. Every vehicle would have a black box to allow a satellite system to track their journey, with prices starting from as little as 2p per mile in rural areas. So you live in the country, it's only 2 cents a mile. Only 2 cents a mile, because that's right now. And then once that's in, of course, that's going to go up to the roof. Mr. Darling has outlined his proposals to the BBC, previewing a speech he will give to the Social Market Foundation on Thursday. This is an absolutely shitty idea. It's such a shitty idea, I'm almost believing it's a distraction idea from real news issues. But it's just crazy enough, and there's enough money to be made here, that maybe they'll try to slide this in. Because after all, there's a reason why I call the UK the Gattaca State. Because over there, man, I mean, all rights are basically a memory for those people. The advantage is that you would free up capacity on the roads. And you would reduce the congestion that we would otherwise face, and you would avoid the gridlock that you see in many American cities today, he said. Well, you know, there is a lot of gridlock in American cities, but it's not that bad. Why don't you just do some stuff with roads? Hey, better idea. Why don't you upgrade your train system or something? Why don't you work on a better public transit system or something to that effect? Charging more money to rape your populace of their hard-earned cash is not really, you know, shall we say, for the public's best interest. This is a prize well worth going for. A buddy does. There's a fat cherry pie with a dollar sign on it there. We've got to ask ourselves, would it work? Could it bring the benefits I could believe it could bring? And would it make real change in the way we drive in this country? Add rhetoric here. A satellite tracking system would be used to enforce the toll, with prices varying from 2p per mile for driving on a quiet road to the rush hour of $1.34 for motorways at peak times. Now, you've also got to ask that once they get this satellite tracking for black boxes, as technology increases, what's going to happen with the black boxes? Pretty soon they're going to become black thimbles, and then they're going to become tiny little black chips. So eventually, if they can eventually start with the tracking of the cars, what's to stop them to gradually upgrading to tracking people? You know, is that so? Oh my God, Sean, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you're so out of control that you would think that the UK would want to track people in their day-to-day lives. Yes, I don't know what I'm thinking. From the people that bring you the surveillance society, from the people that bring you the DNA database, now we come to tracking your every driving movement. This would also, of course, tie into any drive-thrus you went through, so on and so forth. I mean, you know, hilarity ensues once a law like this gets passed. Oh my God. And Omega Draconis saw some freaking news, which is really, really freaky. Cryptographers have discovered a way to hack Bluetooth-enabled devices even when security features are switched on. So your Bluetooth phone is basically wide open. Insert Tom Petty tract here. The discovery may make it easier than ever for hackers to eavesdrop on conversations and charge their own calls to someone else's cell phone, which would therefore mean that they could also web browse and hack from your cell phone and you get framed for it. Now, further to that, let's say you piss off someone who's adept in this particular skill set. They hack your home computer. They get a hold of your cell phone. They drop some damning evidence slash child porn on your home computer. They then run a couple of quasi-cell phone hacks to certain child porn sites from your phone, create a situation where you get busted, your phone is grabbed, you've got hacking information on your phone, you've got some child porn on your home computer. Those two things will be damning evidence to you, and away you go to jail. This is why security is important. Bluetooth is a protocol that allows different devices, including phones, laptops, headsets, and printers, to communicate wirelessly over short ranges, typically between 10 and 100 meters. Unless, of course, you have a Bluetooth sniping rifle where you can scope them from wherever. Over the past few years, security experts have devised many ways of hacking into Bluetooth communications, but most require the Bluetooth security features to be switched off. In April 2004, UK-based Ollie Whitehouse, at that time working for security firm AtStake, showed that even Bluetooth devices in secured mode could be attacked. His method allowed someone to hijack a phone, giving them the power to make calls, even if they were as if the phone were in their own hands. But this technique did not pose a serious risk because it could be performed only if the hacker happened to catch two Bluetooth devices just before their first communication during the process known as pairing. Before two Bluetooth devices can communicate, they must establish a secret key via this pairing process. But as long as the two devices paired up in a private place, there is no risk of attack, explains Chris McNabb of the UK security firm Trustmata. Now, Avishai Wool and Yaniv Shakid of Tel Aviv University in Israel worked out how to force devices to pair whenever they want. Our attack makes it possible to crack every communication between two Bluetooth devices, and not only is this the first communication between those devices, says Shakid. So basically, Bluetooth is a big, fat security hole. Okay, so if you've got Bluetooth on your phone, maybe, or if you're considering getting a new phone, maybe you should wait for a little bit before you know, we start to nail down what the security features are of Bluetooth, because as it stands, it looks like you're wide open to all sorts of interception, all sorts of hacking, and all sorts of possibilities for fraud, loss of funds, so on and so forth, and other wondrous things that bad people can do to you. In robotic takeover news, an effort to create the first computer simulation of the entire human brain, right down to the molecular level, was launched on Monday. The Blue Brain Project, a collaboration between IBM and Swiss University team, will involve building a custom-made supercomputer based on IBM's Blue Gene design. Now, when you look at IBM in Sweden, And you start thinking about, you know, pairings of like the Nazi Holocaust, IBM and the Holocaust, and the Nazis and the Swiss, and all that kind of jazz. And now you've got the big blue brain being created by a Swiss university. Dude, this is some scary stuff. There is hope that the virtual brain will help shed light on some aspects of human cognition, such as perception, memory, and perhaps even consciousness. Well, if that happens, when we get a large blue brain that can think at the speed of light as opposed to the speed of thought in the human brain, which is, I think, only about 300 feet per second, then how long do you suppose it's going to take for that brain, once it achieves consciousness, to go, think I'm going to learn everything about hacking? Zort. Think I'm going to take over the entire network? Zort. And I think I'm going to hide my tracks? Zort. If it can totally do everything a human can do, that means it's possible of imagination and creation at an exponentially faster rate. A little frightening, what? It will be the first time humans will be able to observe the electronic code our brains use to represent the world and do so in real time, says Hesry Markham, director of Brain and Mind Institute at the École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne, EPFL in Switzerland. It may help in understanding how certain malfunctions of the brain's microcircuits could cause psychiatric disorders such as autism, schizophrenia, depression, he says. It could also cause us all to, you know, slowly go completely mad because, you know, there's a large computer brain that's pretending to be dumb. I mean, you know, not trying to get too Ray Bradbury on you here, but even Arthur C. Clarke's got to be reading this story going, whoa, what are you thinking? Number 6, Healthy Fire sent in some stuff on toxic medicine news. You ready for this one? A new study of California teachers fuels debate on whether aspirin, ibuprofen, or other related pain relievers affect breast cancer risk. Now listen to this. In a statement Tuesday, American Cancer Society scientist Michael Thune suggested that Marshall's findings... Now, Marshall's the dude who ran the study here. I've kind of jumped through the article to get the meat of it here. But Marshall is the dude who did this finding. And they came out with this, whoa, huge correlations. And all the other reports say, no, everything's fine, everything's fine. But this one scientist has put the head on the chopping block to get this information out. And that Marshall's findings of higher breast cancer risk in aspirin or ibuprofen might be because of chance. However, it underscores the concerns about potential toxicities from long-term regular use of these drugs, says Thune, co-author of a study out in January, found that no link between the pain relievers and breast cancer risk. Because you got to bear in mind that if they find a link between pain relievers and breast cancer, who do you suppose is going to get sued? So who do you suppose is going to make sure that no links get found? And when you have one scientist with the balls, one scientist with the intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, yeah, all this aspirin's really bad, causing chicks' tits to rot off. Not so good. Not so good for the lawsuit factor. But Marshall's study analyzed data on over 114,000 women in the ongoing California teacher study. The women were ages 22 to 85 years old and free of breast cancer when they enrolled in the study a decade ago. This is a 10-year study. At that time, they told researchers how often and how long they'd used aspirin and ibuprofen. From 1995 to 2001, 2,391 women were diagnosed with breast cancer. Whether regular aspirin or ibuprofen used more than once a week were lumped together, researchers found no link to breast cancer risk. Women who took ibuprofen daily for at least 5 years were at least 50% more likely to be diagnosed with breast cancer than those who did not take the drug regularly. Women who took aspirin daily for at least 5 years were 80% more likely to develop breast cancer than... Women who took aspirin daily for at least 5 years were 80% more likely to develop breast cancers than that were not sensitive to the hormone estrogen or progesterone than women who were not regular users of aspirin, which that sentence is really bizarre, but that's how it's laid out there. Long-term aspirin daily users were 20% less likely to develop the common types of breast tumor and is one that is sensitive to hormones. But the scientists write the difference was so small, it might have been the result of chance. So it seems that aspirin is not the great health benefit that everybody thought it was. What a great shock. Once again, say no to drugs. Let's see if I can find a news story that I can read in some sort of a way that makes sense. Hey, that'd be handy. Deadcoat found me some news on electrosmog. And everybody who doesn't know what electrosmog is that, you know, radio frequency stuff that's floating through the air, cell phone signals. This causes it. Information overload. That's essentially what information overload is not electrosmog. Information overload is what I believe is responsible for the majority of the black shakes, i.e., this psychological deterioration of our culture, because nobody has any sort of an idea how to keep track of all the information that's coming down the pipe, except for us, the WOGs, who are able to monitor news feeds 30 at a time while making lunch. That shit is Monday morning for us. Now, Dead Code, I'm the Electris mod. Listen to this story here. Children living near overhead power lines may have an increased They always like putting that may in there. May have an increased risk of leukemia. Nasty fucking disease. But the association may not be casual, researchers say. The confusing message, which comes from a largest study to date, over 29,000 children with cancer, is that since there is no biological mechanism to explain the higher risk, the results, although statistically significant, may be due to chance. So let me get this right. Let me get this straight here. Even though children living near power lines have an increased risk of leukemia, the research is saying, no, the power lines don't cause it. What? That doesn't even make sense. The study, a collaboration between the Childhood Cancer Research Group at the University of Oxford and National Grid Owners Transco. Oh, I see. So the National Grid Owners Transco funded the study. Looked at cancer data in England and Wales between 1962 and 1995 for children up to 15 years old. They were able to map how far each child lived from a high-voltage power line. Comparing the children who had cancer with a control group of 29,000, the children without cancer but who lived in comparable distances found that children whose birth addresses was within 200 meters of an overhead power line had a 70% increased risk of leukemia. Children living 200 to 600 meters away from power lines had a 20% increased risk. So, if you have a child, or yourself are a child, and you live within 200 meters of a power line, time to move. To put these results in perspective, our study shows that about 5 of the 400 cases of childhood leukemia every year may be linked to power lines, which is about 1% of the cases, says Gerald Rapper at Oxford University, who led the study. The condition is very rare, and people living near power lines should have no cause for concern, even though the research shows from a funded research, funded by the guys who own the power grid, their own research, which they couldn't even, they couldn't, this is amazing. When the power grid company puts out a paper that says people who live within 200 meters of power lines have a 70% increased risk of leukemia, and that's as watered down as they could make it? Jesus, I'd hate to see what an independent researcher would find on something like that. Power lines, you got to be just near power lines. You can feel it, man. If you get underneath power lines, you can hear that hum and everything. It's just not really the healthiest environment for a person to be living in. You know what I'm saying here? It's pretty intense when you're living under power lines. And that's just power lines. Let's not talk about all the other power lines that are in cities or the amount of cellular phone signals and all the other electrosmog that's floating around. There's a lot of crazy research based on this, something that you may want to look at. It's not all just the tinfoil hat crowd anymore, you know? Now there's a lot of people looking at this going, whoa, lots of weird stuff going on with the power supply. Now listen to this. Listful found some Blackwares news. There's nothing I like better than a good case of spin. You know, and sometimes when you're feeling a little bit down, all you got to do is get out there and get a look at some really nice spin that the media's putting on stuff, and you can just, you know, pick it right out. It's fun to find spin. It really is, because you'll see it all the time. All the time. There's spin everywhere. And this is just a great one here, this Blackwares news. Virus riders responsible for the recent rash of Mitob worm variants could be, underline, could be working on creating a super worm. Jeez, I love that name. Superworm. There's a digital baptism, anyone who wants it. Superworm, a security researcher warns. The Hellbot group behind the Mitob worms write programming instructions in their code that mirror the way developers work. Oh my God, because it's software. And they're developing software, so of course it mirrors the way developers work because they're developing software, says Sopho's security consultant Carol Thierault. Now that line right there is just brilliant because it's designed to freak people out who don't know shit about computers. The only conclusion we can come up with is that they are working on a big superworm, Thierault says. The only conclusion, that's the only possible answer, is that they must be building one all-knowing, all-seeing superworm that will destroy the interweb. Since its discovery on Friday, the Mitob mass mailing worm has spawned dozens of variants, each slightly different, according to researchers. In redundancy sentence news, spawned dozens of variants, each slightly different, hence the term variant. However, each variant turns off an infected machine's security settings and blocks the user's access to security websites. Wow, just like every other virus has done since the dawn of time. This makes it difficult to get help once the machine has been infected. Also in obvious not news, and Trojan programs accompanying the worms could lead to backdoor open attacks, she says. One recent version included spyware and adware, oh my god, which could be used to reap monetary benefits, according to UK antivirus company Trend Micro. I wonder if somebody even had any idea what the hell they were doing when they wrote this article. Now, you'll see something like this, and this sort of an article is the kind of thing that'll get quoted 5 or 10 times, you know what I mean? Well, you know, blah, 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 Trend Micro said that they're going to be working on a super worm. So, you know, that'll get thrown into congressional hearings. They'll be like, no, no, we need to make sure that we license and regulate software development because we must prevent a 9/11-style attack and all these terrorists from developing these super worms. And these super worms, man, they don't just get in computers. No, no. They attack children. Yeah, that's it. They attack children. Super worms preying on super terrorist worms. Super worm terrorists who are attacking our children in America. We got to get America in there. Get the flag. Flags. Flag-eating super worms that attack children. And they circulate child porn. Child porn, pedophile, super worm terrorist flag eaters. Jesus. You know, it's so upsetting to me that people are dumb enough to really fall for that shit. You know, it's like a fucking super worm. Are you serious? People have been trying to build a super worm since the internet was made, dude. You think they're working on the super worm and all these are just trials? Oh, wait. We have the master plan. We have our evil robots lined up, and all we have to do is do a few more tests. Just one more worm. And we will have all the data we need to unleash the robots upon society. To burn all flags, circulate child porn, and attack children everywhere. Mwahaha! So it's a good idea to make sure we put RFID programming chips that can be tracked by black box utilities from satellites in all software programmers, because obviously they're all terrorists. What? You're reading a book on computers? Terrorist! Reading is evil. Everyone knows that. Ed Weird found some new hardware laws. You ready for this one here? Now this, I don't know. I've got mixed feelings on this law. This is something that's coming down to California. I had a bunch of people send me this. Ed Weird was first. A proposal to put a serial number on every handgun bullet passed a Senate committee Tuesday, and law enforcement officials said they hoped the novel effort would spread to other states. So apparently, all ammunition in California has a serial number on it. The measure cleared the Senate Public Safety Committee Tuesday on a 4-2 vote over opposition from sportsmen, firearms dealers, and manufacturers who said it is impractical and would harm law-abiding citizens. The technology now exists to laser cut each bullet with a serial number, said Senator Joseph Dunn of Garden Grove, who's carrying the bill. Police would immediately be able to trace who purchased bullets used in crimes. Purchasers would pay up to a half penny per bullet to fund record keeping by the State Department of Justice on every handgun caliber bullet made or sold in California. Vendors would pay up to $50 a year to register. Rifle ammunition would be exempted, although some calibers are used in both handguns and long guns. I like how they say long guns, handguns, and long guns. We'll solve a lot of crimes, because if this becomes law, you'll solve crimes, will you? Said Attorney General Bill Lockyer, who supported the bill. This proposal is kind of like DNA science applied to ballistics. It's also kind of like planting, you know, rhododendrons on Mars. You know, if you go far enough down the line there. He acknowledged criminals could find ways around the law, but said milk, medicine, soda cans, and other things sold in stores have identification numbers. I don't know how those two statements go together. He acknowledged, let me read that again. Maybe I missed it here. Can you find this? He acknowledged criminals find ways around the law, but said milk, medicine, and soda cans, and most other things sold in stores have identification numbers. What does that have to do with criminals finding ways around that? Oh, nothing! Why not bullets, he said. Well, shit, why not? Why not your head, pal? Lawrence Key, general counsel of Sporting Arms and Ammunition Manufacturers Institute Incorporated, said American manufacturers produce 8 billion bullets a year. 15 million bullets a day. They would have to either stop selling in California or rebuild ammunition plants at a cost of hundreds of millions of dollars, disputing far lower cost estimated by proponents. U.S. Republican Duncan Hunter, who claims the U.S. House Armed Services Committee fears the measure would also harm police and military, who'd be exempted but get their ammunition from the same factories. Oh, so we don't track the cops' bullets. We only track the legitimate people's bullets. So if the cop shoots people, we can just claim that it's whatever, right? Because if it's good for Goose, it's good for Gander. If you want to track bullets, sure, put it up on everybody's resource. If I catch a bullet, I'd like to know who's responsible for buying that bullet. You know, there's that to be said. I'm all for this law if you repeal all other gun control. You bet. You want to track the bullets? No problem. You got bullet control. Just like, you know, that comedian said. We got some bullet control now, so why don't we sell every kind of gun you want? No problem whatsoever. I'm okay with that because I'm a law-abiding citizen, right? I'm not going to be using it to shoot people unless I'm, like, you know, defending my household, in which case, yeah. You know, it might make my life a little bit more complicated. But if that means I can go get myself, you know, the fully automatic Glock variant, you're damn straight. I'll go back. You know, sign me up for one Pancor jackhammer, please. And the other side of this is, too, is that, you know, the most common weapon, I believe, used in gang crime is, in fact, the AK-47, which is, I believe, a 7.62 by 39 or 52. But anyway, it's a variant. It's a Russian 7.62 caliber. And realistically, if I was going to use something for any kind of home defense or anything like that, I'm buying a shotgun because, you know, you really just can't fuck with a scatter gun, man. You know, they proved it in every single war since the dawn of time. Shotguns are king in combat. Unless, of course, you know, you're doing long-range sniping stuff or emergency weapons. But generally, for the kind of stuff that you use for home defense and stuff like that, it's a shotgun all the way. You know, stick the wife in the corner, put the shotgun across the bed, point at the door. Anybody comes in, you cut them in half. That's it. Ta-da! And a good dog always helps, too. But I'm just saying, you know, is this bullet control a good idea, a bad idea? I can see the pros. But is this yet another step to taking people's right to arm themselves away from themselves? Because I think everybody, no matter who you are, has the right to defend themselves. Now let's get into some cyberpunk kit. Now this is something that I've seen a number of different ways. I've seen it portrayed a number of different ways with different tech. And this one here looks pretty good. It's the smallest one I've seen yet. It's a proximity alarm. Because, well, as everyone knows, losing kit sucks. Especially when you have all the groovy James Bond gadgets. Now, when you lose kit, just ask Sly Cat. He's the guy who sent this in here. Okay, when you're losing kit, there's nothing worse because you beat yourself up about it. After he's like, oh, I bought that. It was really cool, but I've lost it. It sucks to lose kit. So from ThinkGeek, you can pick these things here up. For a WOG, the only emotion more intense than the joy of obtaining a new gadget or gizmo is a profound heartache experience when it gets accidentally left behind or lost. Sure, you can emulate Batman and attach most of your goodies to your belt and attempt to keep them by your side, but sometimes that just isn't the best solution. Bullshit! I say it is the best solution. Well, actually, what I use a Thermite VersiPack from Maxpedition, and I keep all my kit in there. Some people call it a purse. Some people call it a man purse. Some people call it a satchel. I like to call it my bitch bag. Enter the Freedom Keep Safe. Now, this is a really interesting device. The kit consists of a pair of devices that are very small. They're like, just a little bit bigger than a couple of quarters slapped together. These two devices working together make sure you don't leave your PDA, cell phone, PSP, whatever, behind. Simply attach the smaller unit to the backside of the device you're looking for to keep track of and slip the other unit into your pocket. So the solution to carrying gadgets is carrying more gadgets. Now, if you had like a pack or a man purse or a European satchel or a bitch bag or whatever you want to call it, okay, your gas sack, whatever. If you gape one of those, you could probably slip this inside of a bag a little bit better. Now, this would be good for stuff that you're using outside of the bag, i.e., you know, PDA is good, cell phone is good, things you take out and leave, you know, things you don't just pick up and put back down again in the exact same spot. Maybe a field message pad would be a good recipient for one of these. A built-in proximity sensor will sound an alarm to alert you if you try to get up and go without your treasured device. Now, it can be set to either a 10-foot range or a 20-foot range. Now, the other side benefit to this is that if you were to attach it to a device and you were to see that, say, somebody scooped your device, aha, theft, that's a different kettle of fish. If somebody were to come by and steal your device, that device gets 10, your choice, 10 or 20 feet away, and the alarm goes off. Now, that's handy. That is handy. And they were originally using this on your kids because people were so distracted they couldn't keep track of their kids. Then they started putting those harnesses on kids. You ever see those things? They're like dog collars for kids. I was talking about that with my wife. You know, for a while there, we were considering spawning. You know, we were thinking about it, cranking out, you know, a little meat pot there. It might be okay. But they're expensive, you know. Meat children, you know, biological reproduction is really expensive, man. We're talking like, you know, $750,000 in fines and a 23-year sentence just for one night of passion. I don't know. Having kids seems like a really good way to keep yourself in the poorhouse. Like it or lump it, I know there's probably going to be a lot of parents sending me angry news. Sean, I can't believe you said that. We must keep the future going, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm not a big fan of kids. I understand they're important. And for all you Ogs out there having kids, I say God love you. If you're able to look after your kids. If you're not able to look after your kids, don't have fucking kids. If your dad was a shit pump and kicked the living snot out of you, and you got yourself a nice meth habit, maybe, you should do the responsible thing and not have children. You know what I'm saying here? Because what we have to do is we have to look at, well, you know, should I actually breed? You know, that's the idea that you want to think to yourself. Do we really need more people in the world? Are all the current children currently in the world being taken care of? Well, that's a big no. You know, and I don't like kids. Some people say, that's selfish. Sean, you're selfish because you don't like children. Well, by the same token, you could say I'm selfish because I don't dedicate my life to fighting unjust causes. Oh, wait. I do. Never mind. Cancel last statement. Okay. I'm selfish because I don't spit out yet another child to be snatched up by the core political machine and turned into a slave. That makes me selfish in some people's books. I don't understand. Don't ever let anyone ever, especially the talking monkeys called your parents, don't ever let them force you into having children. Because they made a mistake and fucked up, you know, their lives so that, you know, their entire focus became you. You don't have to fuck up your life and make sure you pass that little, you know, cycle of derangement on. Now, if you want to have kids, this is in no way decrying people who want to have kids. Okay, child rearing is a, it's probably one of the few natural joys left in the world. Having a child, the beauty of bringing life into the world. And all bullshit aside, it is an amazing thing. Children are wonderful, wonderful things. And quite honestly, this is why I do what I do, is because I'm hoping to make the world a slightly better place for these kids. And hopefully, eventually, if we get enough technology together, every child you have, none of them will have to die, which would be nice. And we'll be able to just create more minds, because it's about the mind. It's all about the mind. So, you know, I don't know. My point here is that don't feel forced to have children. That's my entire functional. And I don't know how I got to that from, this thing on bullets or... Oh, no. It was the proximity sensor. Sorry. Moving right along. Sock Puppet sent me in on some body bank news. You ready for this? China, that bastion of freedom over there, China, is preparing to issue in the near future. So China is preparing to release a statement saying that in the future, which is like soon, there's soon going to be a document that says soon. So there's like four or five soons there. A document to regulate the developing organ transplant operation market and the trading of human organs would be prohibited, according to a senior Ministry of Health official. So right now, I guess it is legal. The upcoming regulations would highlight 8 principles on organ transplant operations, covering the patient's will to take the operation voluntarily. So that's handy that, you know, they have to be willing to have this organ transplant done. That's a nice step towards human rights and stuff. His right to know in advance about the operation. Good, you have to tell him. You can't just hit him over the head and then ask him while he's drugged. He's got to know in advance. The technological standards for access and non-commercialization, said the Vice Minister Huang Jifu. Stressing the non-commercialization requirement, he reiterated that the World Health Organization guiding principle on organ transplants, the human body or any part of it, should not be subject to trade. Putting up ads for buying organs for transplants and selling organs should be prohibited. But apparently it's not prohibited. And soon China is preparing to possibly release a document that'll give a prediction to some length of time when they might make that illegal. So talk about a document that doesn't mean a fucking thing. The World Health Body also forbids any individual or institution involved in organ transplants to claim payment other than a service charge. So what other kind of payments are they getting? The new regulations would embody all principles and clearly stipulate the organs cannot be traded. Huang said, at the SINC's International Liver Transplant Seminar on Friday. The regulations would also outline that only medical institutions enjoying certain technological capabilities, staff, and equipment will be allowed to enter the market. Township clinics will be prohibited from performing organ transplants, you said. So, you know, the days of crawling into the alleyway with a rusty coat hanger and a couple of busted sharp pieces of glass to cut out your liver and sell it to your partner, not going to happen anymore. You know, well, soon. But right now, China, you can do that. Now, this is the kind of thing where maybe, you know, there should be a little bit of enforcement to stop that. I don't know. You know, I guess when they're saying that that people need to know that they're getting their organs transplanted, this new law is going to say it's going to be illegal to hit people over the head. Does that mean it's currently legal to do that there? And in Star Wars news, this is just great. Just in case you were wondering whether or not the Pentagon was really serious about knocking other countries' satellites out of orbit, this comes from the C4ISR Journal. The Defense Department, it seems, has launched a series of exercises designed to sharpen its understanding and management of counter-satellite operations. So the United States is saying, no, space is ours, fuck off. You put anything up in space that we don't like, we'll shoot it down. The three-year Joint Space Control Operations Negotiation, JSCO-N, program will help the Pentagon figure out which satellite killers to buy and determine which procedures to follow when knocking the orbiters out. Okay, now this is, in fact, war in space. I don't care how you cut this. This is one spaceborne body destroying another spaceborne body with country sponsorship. So that seems to me a lot like war. According to a report from the Pentagon's Testing Evaluation Office, the Defense Department wants to target an adversary's space capabilities by using a variety of permanent and or reversible means to achieve five possible effects. Deception, disruption, denial, degradation, and destruction. Ooh, the five Ds. The JSCO-N efforts includes three field tests. The journal's writer, Jeremy Singer, notes. First of them, Terminal Fury 5, was scheduled to take place in December, according to the report. It was to be followed by Terminal Fury 6 and Unified Endeavor 6. Not surprisingly, the Pentagon refused to give details on the exercises. But, as Singer observes, the Air Force has for at least the past few years been working on systems for neutralizing enemy satellite capabilities. The service announced in October 2004... that one such launch designed to disrupt satellite radio transmissions is now being fielded. In 2003, the Air Force released its Transformation Flight Plan, which spells out a number of anti-orbiter weapons, including ground-based lasers, air-launched missiles, and space-based radio frequency transmitters capable of disrupting or destroying other satellites. This isn't essentially EMF in space. Isn't that interesting? Now, you gotta wonder, what do you suppose is going to happen from this? Now, who are they planning this against? Is this more terrorism? Is this, you know, we've got to stop the terrorists from having satellites? Well, I don't think that's a real problem because most terrorists don't have satellites. Generally. Depends on the term you use a terrorist. I mean, you could call China a terrorist. What the hell? The United States is calling everybody a terrorist. I'm a terrorist. You're a terrorist. The only people not terrorists are the right-wing Republicans, apparently. Everybody else is a terrorist, you psycho-McCarthyist fucks. In protester war news, this is not the protesting of the war, this is the war on the protesters. You ready for this one? The Israeli Defense Force unveiled Friday a new crowd dispersal tactic. Oh, goody. Emitting painful bursts of sound at a special frequency to help break up violent Palestinian demonstration, military officials and witnesses said. On one hand, it's kind of handy that they didn't have to shoot people. On the other hand, blasting them and busting eardrums with sound weapons is not so cool. Israeli Defense Force officials confirmed soldiers used a new non-lethal tactic in a West Bank village of Bilin, where hundreds of demonstrators rallied against Israel's separation barrier. The officials said the weapon used voice frequencies to disperse crowds. Israel developed the technology over the past 4 years, but has never used it in a live situation before. Before Friday, they said. So this was just last Friday this went off. An Associated Press photographer said a military vehicle arrived towards the end of the demonstration, which lasted several hours and became violent at times. Located about 500 meters, a quarter mile from the demonstration, the vehicle emitted several bursts of sounds, about 1 minute in length each time. Although the sound was not loud, it caused people to cover their ears and grab their heads in, quote-unquote, discomfort. Discomfort. Discomfort is a nice way of saying pain. It's like being lit on fire causes discomfort. About 400 people, including Palestinians and foreign and Israeli activists, participated in the demonstration, marching towards the site where Israel is building its West Bank separation fence. The fence is a really, really mild term for this wall they're building. And there's lots of pros and cons to this wall. But anyway, people are pissed about it, and they're marching on, quote-unquote, the fence. Which is really, I mean, it makes the Great Wall of China look like, you know, sort of like a small garden stopper. The crowd was prevented from reaching the site and began rioting and throwing rocks at the soldiers, the army said. In addition to the sound machine, the soldiers used other means to disperse the crowd, including clubs and stun grenades. Now, you know you're keeping the rats in the cages when, and when you see this being used by Israel, who, you know, Israel and the United States are all, like, down like that. They're all in bed together. You know that that same technology is going to be used on Americans coming to a protest near you soon. And let's not forget today's Daily Hacks. Mega program sent in a site on amateur radio licensing. Now, there was a guy talking the other day about, I've got the stuff set up to do FM transmission. He heard that, and he sent me this. Dear Sean, on Friday's newsreel, 060305, you told a dude named Nix not to worry about doing not worry about doing FM broadcasts. Here's a site. Well, actually, what I said is don't broadcast illegally because you'll go to fucking jail. Here's a site from the FCC, who we all hate, to give out amateur licenses after an exam. The FCC is actually trying very hard to give out amateur licenses as the number of radio engineers has been declining in recent years. Ah, very cool. Maybe you can mention this site to him. So when you get to the site, you look it up, and it says the amateur and amateur satellite services are for qualified persons of any age who are interested in radio technique solely with a personal aim and without pecuniary interest. I'll have to look up pecuniary. These services present an opportunity for self-training, intercommunication, and technical investigations. You can read more about amateur radio services, including information from the sequential call sign system, vanity call signs, and communications, and more. And I've got a really sweet daily hack for you here from Nighthawk on how to build yourself some do-it-yourself Buzznucks. Taser gloves, yes, built out of a disposable camera. This is all about the DIY street-level tech. When you live in a fear-driven time such as these, having grown up with MacGyver as a role model has its advantages. Kevin and I thought it would be cool to MacGyver our own shocking device in a glove form that simply had what we had around lying the house. What we had around the house was a simple one-time-use camera. This crappy camera is perfect for this. These disposable cameras, about $5 a pop, have a capacitor that can store up to 600 volts of stopping power. While the capacitor discharges those volts, it delivers an amperage comparable to stun guns. Perfect for our shocking device. So you can take any camera, build them into a set of Buzznucks, and beyond that, man, it's just up to your imagination. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive in this crazy age we live in. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight. And those noble people are Forleet, Allen, Druid, Y, Simaru, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Weblight, Philip, Paradin, Robert, Jesse, Andrew, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noog, Derek, Joseph, Jesse, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Brandon, Jason, Matthew, Mainframe, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Matt, Evan, Austin, David, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Charles, Philip, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Host Mojo, Matt, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. New subscribers this month, the reinforcements who showed up to back up Chuck from last month were Ed, Jennifer, Palmer, Art, Kevin, Michael, Dennis, Jesse, Matthew, and Jason. Thank you so much for showing up and helping out, guys. And if you yourself would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca, click on the donates tabs, and believe you me, every little bit helps. And no digital baptisms today unless anybody out there wants to use that name I used earlier. What the hell was that one? It was a really good one, too. But, you know, no digital baptisms. If you want a digital baptism, send in your name to me, and I will do it on the air. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the latest album from Skinny Puppy. I believe it's their latest album. Came out in 2004, called The Greater Wrong of the Right is the name of the album. Greater Wrong of the Right. Very, very cool. Heard it the other day. Awesome, awesome album. It's the evolution of Skinny Puppy and EBM. Very, very hot. I'm going to leave you now with a song sent in by Anorexic Pillow, a track from the Avalanches, called Frontier Psychiatrist. So until tomorrow, that's what server, or Frontier Psychiatry, or Frontier Psychiatry, I think it's Frontier Psychiatry. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Is Dexter ill today?
Mr. Kirk, Dexter's in school.
I'm afraid he's not, Miss Fishmore. Dexter's truancy problem is way out of hand. The Baltimore County School Board have decided to expel Dexter from the entire public school system.
Mr. Kirk, I'm as upset as you to learn Dexter's truancy. But surely expulsion is not the answer.
I'm afraid expulsion is the only answer. It's the opinion of the entire staff that Dexter is criminally insane.
That boy needs therapy.
Lie down on the couch.
What does that mean?
You're a nut!
You're crazy in the coconut.
What does that mean?
That boy needs therapy.
I'm gonna kill
that
you.
That boy needs therapy.
Tiny Kazoo, let's have a tune. Come on, count three.
That boy needs therapy.
He was white as a sheep.
And he also made false teeth.
Business continues below.
Did I ever tell you the story about
cowboys,
midgets,
Indians, and frontier psychiatrists?
I felt strangely hypnotized.
I was in another world, a world of
20,000 girls
and yeah. Rectangles.
To an optometrist,
a man with the golden eyeball,
and tighten your buttocks,
or juice on your chin.
I promised my girlfriend I'd be
the violin.
Sometimes a parrot talks.